Open your Bible with me this morning, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's read here, beginning in verse 13, as the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. Now, quickeneth there means to make alive. He makes all things live. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time, in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful statement that he made there? But I want to zero in this morning on one aspect of this. Who only hath immortality in verse 16. I got to thinking about the subject of immortality. What exactly is immortality? Let's go to Webster's dictionary. Webster defines immortality as quality or state of being immortal. Unending existence. Immortal means imperishable, destined to live in all ages, abiding. We think of it as living forever, eternal, never dying. Now, our text here tells us that only God has immortality. Look at it. Who only hath immortality? Now, to us, that means that God is the eternal one. He is without beginning. He is. And he always has been, and he ever shall be, world without end. Now, God is the only one who has immortality. And if we ever get it, we're going to have to get it from him, because he is the source of it. And I don't think we have enough money to buy it. And we're not strong enough to take it from him forcefully. So the only way that we're going to get immortality is if he gives it to us. It's got to be a gift. Now we know that we had a beginning. So far as we know, we began to live when we were born. We have no knowledge or memory of any prior existence. can't speak for you, but if I am a reincarnated being, as millions of Hindus and Buddhists believe, if I'm reincarnated, I have no recollection at all of a prior life. I remember years ago, that there was some gal over in England over there that she started telling people about her prior existence and such as this. Well, she can talk about it all she wants to. I've never had that experience myself. Because I have no recollection of a prior life. I don't. If I'm reincarnated, I don't know whether I was a worm or a chicken or a cow or whatever. And this I know, that we cease to live when we die. Death will be our end, and death is an appointment. And we don't even know when it is. But today we are mortal beings. Now there's a teaching that's prevalent today that says that mortal man will not receive his immortality until the second coming of Christ. I hope you don't believe that. They say that we will not become immortal until our resurrection from the dead. They don't believe in the immortality of the soul that we have. When we were born again, we received eternal life. And to me, eternal life is immortality. I mean, from here on, not from here back. I don't know about that, but from here on, it's immortality. I want to give you some scriptures here that you perhaps haven't read in a while. One is in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5. This says, "For the living know that they shall die." That's us. We know that we shall die. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. And verse 10 of that Ecclesiastes 9 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave." I see some smiles. Somebody said, "Oh, there's no work in the grave." Sounds good, doesn't it? "No work, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." Psalm 115, verse 17. "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence." And I take that as being the grave. Psalm 146, verse 1. "His breath goeth forth." That is the breath going forth, leaving the body. "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish." Now the Bible teaches us over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So there you've got the Trinity of man. His body formed out of the dust of the ground. His body, physical body. The life in that body is the breath of God. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's what we are. We are souls. Now, let me teach you something. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. N-E-P-H-E-S-H. And that word nephesh is translated in our 1611 King James Version of the Bible 428 times in the Old Testament as soul. Nephesh is the soul. Now, here's something else. That same Hebrew word, going back to 1611 to the translators, was translated, the same word was translated life 119 times and person 29 times and creature 19 times. And the Bible dictionary will tell you that this nephesh is not part of the person, it is the person. We get the idea that our body is the person, but it's not. The soul is the person. The body is just what the soul lives in. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 7 says, then shall the dust, now that's the body which was created out of the dust of the earth, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. That's these physical bodies in which we live. And the spirit, that's the life force of this body of flesh. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That means that this body, which was made out of the ground, returns to the ground when it dies. Now, when our Lord Jesus Christ, go with me to Calvary, when he died on the cross of Calvary, his last words, remember them? He cried with a loud voice, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. He voluntarily dismissed the spirit of life from his body of flesh that had been tortured and was hanging there on that cross. And when he did that, and that spirit returned to God, his body died. Joseph and Nicodemus took it down from the cross, wrapped it in burial clothes, and put it in the tomb. It was buried. Now, the spirit, the word is Rosh, R-U-A-C-H. And that's defined as spirit or breath. Breath of the nostrils, breath of air. It's the breath of life by which men live. If you, in your physical bodies just now, quit breathing, your body would die because it's dependent upon breath for its life. Now, that spirit of life, that breath, belongs to God. And he has only loaned it to us for a little while. And at death, that spirit of life will go back to the great author of life who gave it in the first place. Job said in chapter 27, verse 3, and by way of complaint to God, he says, "The Almighty, who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils." His soul was vexed as long as he lived. So when a person dies, the spirit, the breath of his nostrils goes back to God, and the physical body, which was originally made from the earth, goes back to the earth. This process of going back to the earth as it was starts at the time of what we call death. It ceases to function as the non-breathing individual no longer exists as a living, conscious, thinking being. Now, what happens to the body? The body rests in the grave until it's called forth by the voice of Christ, who, John 6:39, shall raise it up at the last day. Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, if you want to read those, that the righteous dead, that is the saved, will rise up at the second coming of Christ in what we call the first resurrection. It's called the first resurrection because there's a second one that's coming. And at that time of the first resurrection, the living saints, all of us who are alive and remain at that time, will take part in what's called the rapture, when we shall be caught up together with them, the saints participating in the first resurrection, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But the wicked dead, those who have died without faith in Christ, unsaved, unbelieving, will not rise from the dead until 1,000 years after the resurrection of the just or the righteous. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 will tell you that. It says, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." Now listen again to Job chapter 14, verse 10. "But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. Where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Now somebody will say, all right, there's soul sleep. No, that's not soul sleep, that's body sleep.
Yes.
Remember that man is body, soul, and spirit. There's no such thing in the Bible as soul sleep. There is the body sleeps, and Jesus refers to it, that when this body of flesh dies, this physical body is buried, and it goes back to the dust, and it sleeps in the dust until the morning of resurrection. The body sleeps. It's dead. It's gone back to the dust. It no longer has life because the spirit of life is gone back to God. Its breath is gone back to God. And its soul, we'll get to that in a minute. Job continues in verse 14 of that 14th chapter. He says, ask the question, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time, Job says, I will wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. That's resurrection. Over in John chapter 11, Jesus' friend Lazarus took sick and died. His sisters, Martha and Mary, sent word to Jesus to come to Bethany. Took him a little while to get there. But when he got the word, he told his disciples, he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. His disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. You know, when if you're sick and your fever breaks and you drift into a peaceful sleep, and then when you wake up, you feel a whole lot better, don't you? If he sleeps, he'll do well. They thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep, but Jesus spoke of his death. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now he used sleep and death interchangeably here, didn't he? So they make their way down to Bethany. When they get there, they find that Lazarus had already been buried in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days. Jesus told Martha, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha answered, she said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And Jesus went out to that tomb where the body of Lazarus had laid in death for 4 days already. She says, he said, roll away the stone. She said, but Lord, by now his body stinketh. He's already begun to decay. He was not filled with formaldehyde or anything like that, you know, that his body would be preserved. And he's buried the day that he died. And by now he stinketh. But Jesus shouted out, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what happened? He did. Now, in Revelation chapter 20, John writes about a time when the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. He's not talking about souls here. He's talking about bodies at the resurrection. And they were judged. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the dead were judged according to their works. Now that's the unsaved. You see, people get out here and they live like the devil and they die without God. And they think that my death is all. I got news for them. Game hasn't even started yet. Daniel wrote in chapter 12, verse 2, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. And that's there again, that's not soul sleep we're talking about. He says, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Let me tell you this. One day Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And they went out yonder and they climbed up to the very top of a great high mountain called the Mount of Transfiguration. And there Jesus was transfigured before them. But on that Mount of Transfiguration, Peter and James and John saw Moses in person. Now Moses, go back into the book of Deuteronomy and you'll read about Moses' death and how that he was buried over there in the mountains of Nebo. He was dead and buried. But here he is. 1,450 years later, he appears with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that's not all. There was another fellow there with him. His name was Elijah. Now Elijah had never died. Remember, he was the one that was taken up, fiery chariot swept down, and he went up to heaven in a whirlwind, the Bible says. But that had been 895 years before this. And here's Moses and Elijah with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. How's that for life after death? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. By the way, I'm going to be preaching at 6 o'clock this evening. The subject is the Feast of First Fruits, and you'll enjoy that. Christ became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. And we're still looking forward to that. Then he tells us in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now this is not soul sleep. This is the sleep of death. We shall not all die. There are going to be some who will be alive when Jesus returns. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now that's those that are in the grave, the saved ones, who have died in Christ, whose bodies are sleeping until he calls them forth, and when he calls, they will answer. Yes. At the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, we said in the beginning that only God has immortality. And if we're going to get it, we're going to have to get it from Him. But when do we get it? I believe that our soul becomes immortal whenever we are born. We are born an immortal being. Insofar as our soul is concerned, it is eternal. It lasts forever. But the body is temporal. These bodies that we have will die, they will perish, they will go sleep in the dust of the earth until that resurrection day, and then this mortal body will put on immortality. It too will become eternal. I'll have a new body, fashioned like unto the resurrected body of my Lord Jesus Christ when He came out of the grave. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 20, verse 36, neither can they die anymore. If they can't die anymore, to me that means immortality. For they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. He said, if a man, listen at this, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, does that mean that your body is not going to die? I don't think he's talking about the body here. I think he's talking about the soul of man. Because these bodies will die. It's appointed unto man once to die. But if a man keep my saying, Jesus said, he shall never see death. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Can you take that home with you? He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body. I still do. There's some places in town I don't go after dark. I'm a scaredy cat. But he said, fear not those that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. They can kill your body, but they can't kill your soul. Remember that. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body. Where? In hell. God has the power to destroy both body and soul in hell. Paul writes, for we know that if our earthly body, our earthly house of this tabernacle, he calls it, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Get that? Eternal in the heavens. Now what happens at death? We haven't gotten to that yet. Luke chapter 16. is a good picture of that. There was a beggar by the name of Lazarus who died. And Jesus said when Lazarus the beggar died that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom? Wait a minute. Abraham has been dead for 1,820 years at this time. 1,820 years, and now then here is the beggar Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, where he was comforted, the Bible says. Now at the same time that Lazarus had lived, he was the beggar, and he was set daily at the rich man's gate, and he desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And you know the story, the dogs came and licked his sores and all this. That rich man also died. What's the next three words? And in hell. He didn't have to wait until a resurrection. When he died, his body was buried. I'm sure they had a big funeral for him, and all of his friends and neighbors and people like that came, and he was buried in a prominent spot in the cemetery, and they put up a big tombstone over his grave. That's where they placed his body. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He saw it. He saw Lazarus, recognized him. And he cried out to Abraham, "Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Where did he go at death? Paul said, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body, not the soul, not the spirit, absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Not the body. The body's going to the cemetery. The spirit of life is going back to God. We're talking about the soul. Present with the Lord. John yonder on Patmos, he said, "I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the cause of Christ, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the millennium. They're living with Christ in a new, resurrected, glorified body that is immortal because God has shared his immortality with them. If you're here today and you're saved, God has already shared his immortality with you. If you are unsaved today, there's coming a time when your physical body that you're in right now is going to die. It's temporary, but your soul that lives in your body is eternal. And when your body dies, the spirit of your life is going to go back to God. But that soul is either going to heaven if it's saved, or to hell if it's lost. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what God's Word says.
Amen.